and welcome to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. My name is Goff, and today I'm joined by a music megastar, ladies and gentlemen.
I wouldn't say megastar, brother.
Well, you know, I've got to build it up. So he's got a brand new album out.
It's not quite out just yet.
Well, by the time this drops, it'll be out or thereabouts. So just stop in. I'm giving you a bloody intro. I'm trying to build you up. You know, I could say he's just a bum I found off the street.
This is all about relaxing. It's like, you know, having conversations. That's what we do. We have a conversation.
Well, fuck it. It's Russell Rusty Smith. How are you doing
good
today, Rusty?
Good morning, Goff.
Good Lord. So you're gonna be hard work. I can tell already.
No, I'm not me. Trust me. It's the other one. D2 is the other one.
Scott's outside the...
D1.
I should probably put some context around this. I said to Scott, my production man, a little while ago, I said to him, mate, I'm doing another round of podcast recordings. Do you know anybody who might be interesting to come in? And he goes, no, not really. Oh, you could interview Rusty. He might be all right. So that's what we're doing.
Gee, thanks, Scott.
now look, Rusty, let's talk about the music, because you are a musician of quite some note. Mm-hmm. When did the music bug hit for you?
I think in the late 20s. I mean, you know, late 20s, you don't, for me, it's more about, you know, you don't really take it serious, but then I started to go, ooh, I better start, better get into this, because it's, you know, nothing like, playing music and looking at chicks. It's great.
So it wasn't something as a youngster you were drawn to?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't at all. For me, it's been, started late and really worked hard at it, if you know what I mean.
Wow. Okay. Cool. So was it hard to then break in? Because obviously you're a bit of an older dude. You're not, you know, young with all the youngsters coming through. Was it a bit harder to sort of put your foot in the door?
Not really, because, you know, in the 90s, because you're in Melbourne, you're playing with, you know, you started off playing with different bands and stuff. So you get to know the industry quite well. So, yeah. I mean, when Brogger first started, you know, I said to the boys, mate, first 5 years, we're going to cop it. You know, you're not good enough, you're not this, you're not that, but we stuck at it, you know.
Cool. Nice one. So tell us about those early days then. You know, you said for the first 5 years you were a bit of a, not so much of a struggle, but tell us about the early days.
Living in Melbourne, it's, you know, because it's the heart of the music industry for such a long time. So you get to know different bands that, you know, that'll help you come play here, do a gig here. We did a lot of benefit gigs when we were young, but, you know, just to get into the game. But after a while, people started to, this young Aboriginal band's coming through. But so we definitely made a name, that's for sure.
Was it, because I know we're going to talk a little bit about the didgeridoo in a bit, but was it guitar? Was that your main?
Yeah, guitar's my main music instrument. I mean, I'm more of a rhythm guitarist. I like to sing and play rhythm and bit of dirty guitar, you know. But I've been eyeing off Scotty's guitars. They're pretty cool.
So now you have played with some amazing acts over the years. You really have. Now feel free to name drop, of course. But what are some of the great acts and great gigs that spring to mind for you?
For me, with a didgeridoo point of view, is that I actually got to hop in the boxing ring with Muhammad Ali and got to play a didgeridoo for him. So
tell us about that experience.
Oh, that was like amazing. Like when he the last time he literally came out to Australia, he came out for the AFL Grand Final. I think it was in 96 it was. And we had an opportunity to present, you know, and do some cultural stuff with him within the boxing ring, not with other people, but it was amazing. It was actually an amazing thing to do. And for me, and also too, I got to meet Nelson Mandela in Melbourne. That was a private little audience with him, and got to play didgeridoo with Arnie Joy Murphy, the traditional owner of in Melbourne. So that was amazing. I loved it. I mean, I get to play with a lot of people, but...
Well, hold on a second. You can't just brush over meeting people like Ali and Nelson Mandela and just brush it past it like it's nothing. Did you have a chat to these great humans?
I did. Muhammad Ali was very special, because the minute I walked and put my back and walked away to get off the ring, he actually called my name out and said, come back here for a minute, and then he grabbed my hand. The man is, you know,
because he was sick at this time.
He was sick. He was, well, yeah. He had a, you know, He was sick, but his mind was still strong.
Yes. Well, but that's Parkinson's. I mean, your brain's totally fine.
Yeah. But his body wasn't, you know, functioning quite well. But he grabbed my hand and actually squeezed it. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the man that's been, you know, jumped in the ring with all these different boxes. But his mind was strong, but his hands were just tight as. And he grabbed my hand and squeezed it. I went, oh, golly gee. I hate to get on the end of those knuckles, that's for sure. But that for me was really important because we presented a didgeridoo for him. So,
and what did I assume, because he's a very spiritual man, Muhammad Ali, yeah. I assume that would be something that could you tell his enjoyment?
Like, oh, totally agree. I mean, I think the first time when he came down to Australia, he, him and Lionel Rose went down to Fitzroy, down to Gertrude Street, where most of the Aboriginal services was there, and he went to the Aboriginal gym there, and that was the early 70s when he first came out. So he's had you know, relationships with Indigenous communities, and you know, especially in Australia, that's for sure.
That's amazing. And what about Mandela then? When what was your experience there?
He came out to Australia. I think he came out twice. I think. The first time he came out, and the second time he was retired. But Auntie Joy again, another one. I get a phone call from Auntie Joy. So what are you doing? Just home. Can you come play didgeridoo for a certain person? She didn't drop the name, of course. But yes. Time we got there it was actually my, you know, Nelson Mandela, and to play something, you know, in front of him is just amazing, you know.
And again, were you able to have a conversation?
No, it's a bit hard with a conversation with that type of person because a lot of minders, you know.
Yes, of course, yes. Like,
especially when you walk in with a didgeridoo, they think, oh, what's that? It's a weapon. No, it's not a weapon.
You're going to beat him around the head with it?
No, I wouldn't beat him because he was, you know. I mean, that man's just a legend in his own right.
Absolutely, of course, 100%. Mm. And so what about musical gigs, you know? Because, again, you have toured with some amazing artists.
Yeah, I've played with, you know, with internationally. I've done, you know, played with Rodriguez twice. Actually, twice he came out. So I've played gigs with him. Who else I played with? Oh, it's a few I can't think about. It's just getting old now.
Do you have a certain – so let's say – do you have a certain style or particular gig that you enjoy? So if someone was to call you up and say, Rusty, I'm going out on the road, can you come with me?
Yeah.
Like, is there a particular style or a particular type of gig or something that you are drawn to?
Yeah, well, not really. It's just like people come and ask me to play and it's kind of like, yeah, sure, no worries. And the most important thing is that you got to ask them, okay, what's the key? People look at you like dumbfounded, like, hang on, you got a didgeridoo. I said, no, I need to know what key you're playing it in. So actually, I fit in.
Well, I actually sing in the key of L.
Well, I'm sorry.
It's an old joke. Don't have to laugh.
I can't. I've got to lift down a didgeridoo. That's what I'm saying.
Give me a B and I'll flatten it myself. It's another old joke.
Don't worry. If we're recording it, I'm sure Scott can find L. You can drop it to L.
So, but do you have a particular style that you do enjoy playing with? Like, again, is there something that you really like?
Well, I do. I like playing with different orchestras and playing, you know, on soundtracks to different things. The didge is such a beautiful instrument. You'll hear it in a minute. But for me, it's more about it's a personal thing, and I love playing it because it's more about a healing for me. I can close my eyes and just play. You know what I mean? People, doesn't matter which part of the world we came from, especially Australians when they get homesick, especially overseas, the minute they hear the didgeridoo, it's like, oh gosh, because it's part of Australia. It's part of that, you know, the history of who we are as Australians. But the sound of the didge brings home memories of home, you know?
Well, you said earlier, you know, you close your eyes and is it more like meditative for you?
Totally. Absolutely.
So if you're having a no good rubbish day, you say at the moment you're moving house and you're very stressed about moving house, would getting the didgeridoo out and just playing that for 15, 20 minutes would just calm the nerves?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Calms it down. But, you know, can I give you a classic example of in Queensland? This is, you know, I used to work at Dreamworld.
Yep.
As the, because we ran the Aboriginal unit there, Corroboree. And that day of that incident with those people that died,
So for those who don't know, there was an incident at Dreamworld where four people unfortunately lost their lives on a ride. That was about 3-4 years back now. So
a bit longer than that.
Yeah. So continue, just for giving.
Yeah. No. Anyway, so after that, they did all the police reports and all that sort of stuff, and they closed the place down for quite a few while. And then what we did was the CEO wanted us to bring the staff that were affected. So, you know, we played the didge and smoked them all out and blew over them. So for me, when I do...
Like a traditional smoking ceremony?
Proper smoking ceremony.
Yeah.
So I smoked them out. And then it's not about healing. It's about putting good things back into them because they saw things. And so we were, you know, we seen grown people. They had no experience with culture and... But they, you know, wanted to be part of this. So we got the dig and blew over him. Got the girls to smoke them out, you know, properly, do it properly and with the gum leaves and so it was really beautiful to do that.
Cool, very cool. Now, we will talk about your new album in a moment.
Yep.
But before I do want to, because we've been talking about the didgeridoo a lot, so before you bust out a bit of an example, how about you give us a bit of a history lesson? Tell us a bit about the origin of the didgeridoo.
Well, sorry about the scrap disc, Scotty. this didgeridoo here, I love this didge. It's in C, but it's yellow box. But the original where it comes from, it's from the top end. Which is they call it Yidaki, or the Yungle mob they use for corroboree, telling stories, you know, Bungal, which is Bungal means sitting down, you know, having lots of stories and community doing stuff. But this didge is a beautiful didge, and it's actually in C. I get to play this didge for people that passed away, especially, you know, so just come and play didge, just want to. Yeah, so it's a bit of like a funeral march sort of thing, but I've played many, many funerals on, you know, especially with the didgeridoo and let that spirit go, you know.
So for those people who really don't know absolutely anything about it, it is a woodwind instrument?
Yes.
So what type of wood are we using?
Well, this one's yellow box, and if you feel that golf, if you feel it, see how light it is?
Yes, it is, very light.
Yeah, some didgeridoos are really heavy.
Would I be correct in saying that looks smaller than most didgeridoos that I've seen, though I haven't seen many, it has to be said, but they're usually a little bit bigger. Is that a fair statement?
They are. Some of them are really big and bulky, and I'm like, I'm not into the big bulky stuff. It's more about finding the right instrument with the right key, because I get to play everywhere and play different orchestras The A's and the G's are the really hard keys to find. Everybody, can you play an A? I'm like, I don't have an A. I've got a B, but I don't have an A. You know, I've got a B, C, D, E, but no G. And because the G is really small, so not that small, but it's harder to play it, so yeah.
Well, you were saying earlier as well, I'm curious that you've played with orchestras. I'm wondering how, you know, the highfalutin orchestra people, are they very welcoming?
Oh, they're very welcoming, especially if it's pieces like, you know, Peter Scalthorpe wrote, Peter Scalthorpe is an Australian composer, but he passed away, but he is one of the most iconic Australian composers in Australia, but his work spans back from the 70s. But he wrote this piece with two pianos and didgeridoo, so we actually toured that in France, and I got to play that piece in an American church in Paris, this beautiful old church in Paris with two pianos, but the floor was marble floor. So I didn't need a microphone. I just bounced off the floor, which is amazing because it resonates through the whole church. People heard, but the two pieces that he wrote is about Australia. So yeah, so it's really important to. And beautiful instrument.
Do you enjoy, because I know you've toured with the likes of Paul Kelly and that sort of stuff, like more commercial artists. Do you enjoy the commercial stuff or the orchestra stuff? Or
a bit of both.
You don't have a preference?
I don't have a preference. I don't, because I think that, you know, the didgeridoo itself it speaks for itself, because this is an instrument that every Australian wants, you know, especially like I said earlier in the piece, if they're overseas or homesick or just at home, want to listen to, you know, a didgeridoo.
It's a very adaptable instrument then, yeah.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Absolutely. It doesn't really matter how big the band is or how loud the band is. The didgeridoo fills every gap of any musical genre, you know what I mean?
Well, I do have a humorous story for you, Rusty, before we get a bit of an example of how to play it. So I'm going to ask you...
Wait for it. Here we go.
Yes, I'm going to ask you a second about the technique of playing it. And the reason I'm going to ask you that is because me and a mate quite a few years ago, we're in Surface and we're having some afternoon beers, and a new music shop had opened up in between the two pubs that we were going. And the fella at the head of the music shop was playing the didgeridoo out the front. And he said, "Fellas, do you want to come and have a go?" And we said, "We've never played didgeridoo before. We've got no idea. I mean, I'm as white can be. So I've got absolutely no clue whatsoever." Mm. And he said, "Oh, it's dead easy. It's real easy. You can do it. Have a go." And so me and my mate, we are half pissed at this point, so I will prefix it with that. We had a turn, and it's fair to say I've never seen anybody laugh so hard at someone's lack of musical ability as what... So my argument would be that it's a very difficult instrument to play. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's a fair crack. It is actually really hard to play. It's not easy. The point is, you got to blow from that point to that point. You got to vibrate the didge. So it's kind of like, yeah, it is really, really hard.
So it's not an easy instrument. You can't just pick it up, and it's not like the guitar. You just pick it up and a few strums and away you go.
It's basically hard.
So also the other thing I should point out, because obviously this is an audio podcast, would you say that's what, about a meter and a half in length?
About that.
So when playing the didgeridoo, it's a blowing motion that we're doing, yeah?
Absolutely.
And the fellow at the store did give us some advice before we had a turn. Mm. He said, it's kind of like you got to vibrate your, not a raspberry type sound, but you got to sort of vibrate your lips.
Absolutely.
As you're doing it, and that's sort of the trick behind...
Yep.
The blowing motion, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I'll give you a classic example. This is. See, yeah, you have to vibrate the... You hear that?
Yep.
You're vibrating that whole thing through there. So... Snare, Scotty. You see what I mean by the vibration?
Yes, yes.
Because it feels like, if I did this to you, hang on.
It's like a gentle massage.
Yeah, well, it's funny you should say that, because I've had a lot of friends, and I had their wives come up and go, "Can you blow the didge over there?" Because they have just become pregnant.
Okay.
And in the womb. And I've done quite a few, you know, parents that have been pregnant and blew the didge over them, and it calms the baby down. So I did it to all my kids, which is really cool.
So is there any other techniques in regards to playing? Because when you do hear people play it, they do animal calls and whatnot through it as well?
Yeah, that's the normal tourist
okay.
bullshit. I'm sorry.
That's fair enough.
I'm sorry. But, you know, if you're playing with an orchestra, you play to what they're doing, you know what I mean? And then I've got another little group called Manta, which is the cello, guitar and didgeridoo, which Ashley Naylor plays on playing guitar, because he's a good friend of mine. But he plays with everybody from the church to Paul Kelly to his own band. He's the most wanted guitar player in Australia. But we did this album together called Dismantle, which is the cello, guitar and didgeridoo. But the cello itself and the didge really, they play well together, which is good. And we did the Doctor Who theme. Well, I did the... So I did all that.
A whole bunch of nerds listening have just gotten very excited.
Oh, my God. Yes. It went crazy that night. But we did Spicks and Specks and the Doctor Who theme was, we did it for them. So they went nuts.
So is there anything else that folks from overseas, when it comes to playing the didgeridoo, is there anything else? Because again, look, I will be the first to admit I'm as white as snow, so I don't have a lot of education in it myself. Is there anything else that folks overseas, when it comes to actually playing it, is there anything else that of interest that folks should know?
There's a lot of people overseas that play didgeridoo. Not just there's different clubs. I know there's a club in Japan that has. Over 100 plus people want to play didgeridoo. You know, in France, they do exactly the same thing. It was funny, when I was in Lorient in playing at the Irish Festival, there's quite a few didge players, but, you know, when an Aboriginal person turns up, they don't want to talk to you. Just like, yeah, right. Yeah, I got to play with Tommy Emmanuel in Lorient, and, yeah, he was amazing because we know Tommy very well, so, yeah.
So before we talk about your new album, can we just get another quick because it's very cool, I must say.
Oh, it is a beautiful instrument.
Oh, yes. Scott in my earphones just said, talk to us about circular breathing.
I heard that, Scott.
Yes. So tell us about circular breathing.
It's hard. Like people are like, can you circular breathe? Like people say, you got to get a straw and blow it into a bucket of water and start breathing. It's like blow and breathe at the same time. It's like, no, you just got to practice. But if you're asthmatic, this is good for you.
Oh, it's good. I was going to say it's not the instrument for you, but quite the opposite.
No, it is. Yeah, it's for smokers, they'll struggle with it. But for me, I've been playing for many, many years. I don't smoke, but my lungs are really strong, so I make sure that I can breathe properly. But it's circular breathing is really important. So it's hard to play. So you blow and breathe in at the same time. But I use when I breathe in, I use it as a breath, as a rhythm. So, and by the way, you get dry mouth too. By the way.
Very cool. Now, like I say, you do have an album coming out shortly. Can you just give us a little bit of a taste of what that's all about?
We're in the middle of it right now. So we've done two tracks, both been mastered. One's on Spotify and hopefully the other one will be if management get their shit together. Sorry about that. If management get their,
Shit.
Yeah, that together. it should be out soon, but in the middle with Scott. Scott's actually doing the record, which is great. And then,
what's it called? Have you got a title for it?
Not really. I don't know. It's hard to put a title on it till it's finished.
What about?
Doesn't matter any color.
What about Ode to Goff?
Ode to Goff. Hey? Yeah, we owe Goff this one. You have to pick it up with Scott.
So look, we are going to play a track off the new album very shortly. Before we do that, I just want to obviously thank you so much for coming in today, Rusty.
Pleasure.
I really do appreciate and bringing the dig in and giving us a bit of an education and an example. It was really cool, actually. Enjoyed that. Of course, make sure you out there listening, like and subscribe to the podcast. Make sure you leave a friendly comment, rate and review. 5 stars is always good. And of course, beernutsproductions.com is your one-stop shop for all your entertainment needs. Now, Rusty,
yes.
The song we're about to listen to, what's it called and what's it about?
But Heart of the Matter is like, I am actually a firefighter up at Mount Tambourine, and we do traditional burns for the first time up there with all the different brigades. And that traditional burns, what it is, it's about, you light the fire with, you you know, you don't, there's no chemicals, there's no matches. You actually literally light it properly, like traditional burn, then you put it down. And the first time we put down a fire, this beautiful old man came out of this fire with the two traditional owners standing right next to us. So I wrote a song called Heart of the Matter. It's about that. So, yeah.
And that's what we're going to listen to now.
Yes.
So enjoy. Thank you so much, Rusty, for coming in. Heart of the Matter. This is the heart of the matter.
Matters straight up from the start, that's what matters. Gotta know who you are before you speak the truth. Gotta know where you are to have a point of view. This is the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter. Heart of the matter. This is the heart. Red dead heartbeat, feel it in your bones. Red dead heartbeat, feel it in your soul. Red dead holding everything you know.
The man.